The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. You hear that tick, 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 tick in my theme music? That's my stopwatch. That's me watching your mango tree. Because you may not know it, but I got your mango tree on layaway. And about 1,500 other people got your mango tree on layaway. So please take care of your mango tree for all of us this mango season. You are listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And we are streaming live, audio and video, on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 96.9 and on Flow 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, powered by BTC. And standard text rate supply, or you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Good morning, Bahamas. Today is Friday, the 5th of February, 2021, and I've been here at the mic for a whole week now, and it's been a wonderful time, a wonderful time. Before I get into the meat of the show, I got a little housekeeping. I like housekeeping. I mean, don't tell the people in my house because I've convinced them that I can't do it. But I like it. So first and foremost, I want to send condolences to Antoinette Seymour and family, the passing of her husband and the father of their family, including Judah the Lion, who is a comet, a former comet like myself. And Dana Knowles, one of their sons, who I'm also familiar with from our social media groups. And this one sort of hit me because Mrs. Seymour Antoinette, affectionately known as Mum in social media spaces, is one of the women, not directly in my life, but who I know, who have always let me know, right? Like, hey, you is people. You is my people. And she let me, especially if you got Tamarin, you could be my people, right? She's just a beautiful spirit. And so I want to send condolences to them.
And I join you on that. She was a classmate of mine.
Absolutely. And so my guest today is Margot Blackwell, so you know who's talking. but go on, Margot.
Yeah, she was a classmate of mine, you know, and it's really sad that we've reached this part of our lives where we're saying goodbye and greeting new grands, but still saying goodbye to people we live with. But Antoinette and family, my deepest, deepest condolences.
Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed to be surrounded by and be in spaces filled with powerful women who ultimately seek to inspire and empower. Mm-hmm. And after learning the news, it inspired me to consider having a prayer for my show, right?
Oh, really?
And I decided I want an interfaith prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So we could recognize the various ways that people God, or the way that people spiritual practice, right? Or not practice at all. And so I wanted to offer this interfaith prayer. I want my callers and the listening audience to let me know if you like it, right? And the prayer is, may God's grace pour over you. May the ancestors guide and protect you. And may the light of the universe that shines in all of us support and comfort you.
And may all beings have peace.
And may all beings have peace. Mm-hmm. Right? So I like an interfaith prayer. Like, I appreciate the presence and the importance of faith and spirituality in the in Bahamian culture, in Bahamian traditions, right? And I also, my understanding of that is not like an exclusive one, right? Like you gotta be in this clique or you ain't right. Because I was baptized an Anglican and I grew up in the Methodist church and my Grammy was a Brethren and my auntie was a Baptist, right? But we would all come together and there was no sense that because you are fundamentally different in this way, you different from me.
Did you have any interaction with any Muslims or any other kind Jewish faith that is here in the Bahamas, anything like that? Or was it all basically denominations under?
Well, it was basically denominations mm-hmm. under. And I learned about other faiths through media and reading. But as I became a human rights advocate, right, and understanding the need to separate the personal feelings from professional standards, particularly in government spaces, right, that then I realized that if we can make space for other denominations, we can also make space for other faiths.
Yes.
Because essentially we are respecting
yes.
one's right to freedom of conscience, which is clearly outlined in our Constitution, in the fundamental rights.
And it's extremely important at the basics of everything, and that is understanding that we may be made in the image, but we're all different. And so it's not just about faith. It's when I look at you, when you look at me, when I look at somebody else, it's the differences that we see and finding ways to say, isn't that wonderful? Look how rich my life has been made because I had an opportunity to have a conversation and expand my understanding as to how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our view of the world that actually makes the action happen. What I see, what I dream, what I'm going for, what I know to be right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's an action that's very important. And as you say, start where you're at.
Yeah.
Start with your neighbor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then start with the cat on the block.
Absolutely, because we must mm-hmm. we must believe in ourselves, mm-hmm. in our own inherent divinity mm-hmm. and dignity to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can help others. Our mere presence, right?
Yes.
Becomes support and comfort for others.
Well, you know, even looking at that, it's not necessarily separated like with gender and women. We have to find a safe place for all
yeah.
of us, regardless of our gender. And I extend that beyond male and female.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to recognize my world isn't made brighter when I wipe you out of it.
Right. And so as an intersectional human rights advocate, like I've been trying to figure out what's my focus, what's the root, what's the common denominator of all the issues. And I think the common denominator of all the sort of human rights issues, and the common denominator, even between people who believe in human rights and don't believe in human rights, is that we all have a right to a life free of violence.
Yes.
Right? We all have a right to mm-hmm. a life.
An environment that sustains us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A place to call home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A food to sustain us.
Mm-hmm.
Education to support our potential.
We have the right to belong.
Yes.
To family, to
right
community,
to
land.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we do.
And that breaching these rights constitute an act of violence.
Yes.
I'm not finished with my intro. Don't be sorry. This is good. I'm going to beat up on some people in a minute, right?
Oh, okay.
But I don't like to always beat up on them. And
I think of it, I would love you to think of it like you peel some scales away from some eyes by helping them to see things differently. It may feel a little bit beaten-y like, but a little cut hip like, but at the same time, you know, it is something that I think to be authentic and for us to really make a difference that we have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And we need to be very cognizant of the words that we use when we tell the truth. And there's a couple rules that help us with that, and that is we don't say, you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's my perception, so I perceive your response to be X, Y, and Z, not you are X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. If I don't know you, how can I know that?
Right.
Where that comes from.
Right. And even if I do know you, mm-hmm. how can I know that? Right?
Exactly.
And that principle applies across a range of issues, from politics.
Yeah. Interpersonal relationships, classrooms, radio.
Right. Absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah.
Every relationship, every community.
Requires us to mm-hmm. shift the way that we engage in mm-hmm. people. Because when we listen to people talk about their experiences with violence, whether they are the victims or the perpetrators, right? Mm-hmm. One thing we hear is, he said I made him do it. Or, she made me hit her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. She caused it.
Right. By doing something.
Mm-hmm. Not doing.
Right.
I had to beat her because she didn't have my food on the table kind of thing. Yeah.
As opposed to the fact that my inability to control my rage mm-hmm. is what caused me to beat her. As opposed to, she didn't cook the food, so I had to beat her.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But that's learned too.
Absolutely.
Everything that we're talking about are learned behaviors in a way. We come in, it's enough science been done to know that we're not come in bad to be broken. We're come in wired to learn how to live in the world.
Right.
And so the circumstances which we put children under and ask them to become citizens is really a very crucial thing to...
You brought us right to the point that I wanted to make, right?
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to talk about today partially, mm-hmm. which is that becomes culture.
Yes.
Right? And in similar power dynamics mm-hmm. or relationship models, we end up doing the same thing.
Well,
like
we heard.
In
we,
politics.
Yeah, same thing. But we've heard this week where you don't know when you're a child really what's normal until, or what's good or what's bad until you have an opportunity to see it different. And therein lies our responsibility as adults. Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, you may already know that something is bad. You come to a space with the knowledge that behavior is unacceptable. But in that space, the behavior is not acknowledged.
And more importantly, it could be dangerous to not be a part of it.
Right.
Because your health and well-being is wrapped right up in that.
And so for me, in this instance, I'm very concerned about political candidates who are like children, right, mm-hmm. in a new environment. And it's almost as if we just expect them to figure out what to do. We just expect them to figure out how to lead, figure out how to govern.
Well, you know, think of politics as in everything. Every relationship we have is political in some way or another. So to say that we don't have any idea is not really the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The fact is, we're talking about political parties, right? Who you would hope would have a basic platform that they have built to... I think to educate and to help their potential candidates understand what they stand for and what the country needs.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So, as you know and I know, election season has started. But I like to
That's
call
what
it...
what you call it?
No, that ain't what I call it. That's what they call it, election season. I call it wait a year before election to announce candidate season is upon us. That's all it is. Because I think that the parties think of it, or think of MPs as representatives of the party versus representatives of the people. Because surely you need more than a year to introduce the candidates to the people. Anyway, so then I remember.
But, go ahead.
That an MP must constantly, when you become an MP, mm-hmm. you got to hold some things in balance. You got to balance. Not just this idea of an MP, are you a representative of the party or a representative of the people, but you got to balance your obligation with your constituents, mm-hmm. with your obligation to the citizenry as a whole, with your obligation to the party, with your obligation to the Constitution, and that comes before the party, right? With your obligation to the minister, if you are Minister of State, to Cabinet and to the PM, right? Mm-hmm. And your obligation to the administration, sort of separate from the PM. Mm. That's an awesome balancing act. In every moment, in every decision that you make, you need to consider the impact of your decision or your words or your actions on all of these constituents, on all of these categories of people and things, right?
So the trick is to understand what obligation means. And is that the only word that we can use?
Well, I like to use the word duty of care.
Yes, I love
that. See, onus, it's short, you know, and it's compact, but it's complicated, and plenty of people don't know what it means. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because mm-hmm. duty of care mm-hmm. is really easy to understand. But let me go on. So, I think I got two examples of parties struggling to understand and achieve this balancing act. Yesterday, the Speaker of the House resigned from the FNM party, not from his position as Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. In his resignation letter, he states, and I presume it's his reason, but I'm going to ask you, the listening audience, what you think. My patriotic and not to be compromised convictions on fundamental essentials of democracy and good governance, such as the separation of powers, autonomy and independence of the legislature and judiciary, accountability and transparency, freedom of information, and respect for the Constitution makes my continued affiliation and association divergent and untenable. Right? Mm-hmm. So I want to ask the listening audience, what do you think about the resignation? Do you think that was a real answer? Do you think we deserve more details or more clarity? Do you think it was the right political decision?
I think it was brilliantly written. And it speaks to the House in Moultrie that I went to school with as well.
Okay.
And as a very, you know, he's always been about accountability and transparency.
Well, look, pause. I'm glad you're here today mm-hmm. to say that, because I am of a different generation. Mm-hmm. I don't know Halston Moultrie mm. at all, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it's good to hear someone that knows him outside of his political life and before this political time that could get a sense of whether this is on course or not, this statement for him.
Well, the way it's written yeah. are his words about how he feels and walks his world.
Okay.
He's you know, I'm not defending anything. I don't know the walls he ran up against. We've heard him talk for a couple months about his need, but he's always been about trying, from government high days, trying to figure out, you know, how do we make this country really function, and how, when we got our independence, how can we fix what we need to fix? And, you know, him finally getting into politics, although he tried before several times.
Right.
You know, and getting in, this is his swan song. To fix the separation of powers was one of his things. And also, you know, transparency and accountability. Mm-hmm. And for him to reach that point would have taken some very, very thoughtful moments. He says in there, I think, 7 months or something.
Right. Yeah. And that's another point. Mm-hmm. To quote him, I formally end my 7-month constructive withdrawal from the FNM. I don't think I've ever heard anybody mm-hmm. express this process of separation mm-hmm. in this way, or this decision, right, mm-hmm. to separate in this way. And it speaks to what you are suggesting, that this isn't just a one-off statement, that this is about a long-term commitment to these principles. So then I ask the question, though, and to the audience, is it in the best interest of good governance, right, and the country as a whole, or is it like a personal move because I can't tolerate this anymore? Because maybe what would be best suited for the people is your staunch opposition to what's going on while you are still entrenched in the party.
Yeah, that kind of, that needs a lot of unpacking. We should do actually a show on that because it's a very interesting thing. Can you lead better from within or do you lead better outside? That whole, is it this or is it that? And there comes a point when you have a fiduciary responsibility and you have an obligation that you have sworn allegiance to and you have principles that you bring. And Halson and I have had many arguments because there's some principles that I don't agree with on him. So it's not just saying wholesale that is this. But the bottom line is that there's sometimes when you're within, and this is speaking from good experience, you can do your very best. You can wear your bones down to bring information to the table. If you are a person, and Halson is one of those data-driven persons and evidence-driven persons, and I am as well, when you bring the evidence and the data and decisions are still made otherwise that, in fact, are harmful, the decisions made, you have to make a decision. You're only one vote, you know. So this is the democracy hit. You're only one vote. When do you stand up and say, this is untenable, it is dangerous, it is time now to remove myself? And everybody knows when that is.
Absolutely.
I just did.
So I got a text right here. Good morning, Erin and guest. I think the timing of said resignation is questionable due to the fact that it came on the heels of not being named in the first 17 candidates nominated by the party. If he felt such way beforehand, he should have done that 2 years ago. It comes off as a sign of bitterness in my eyes.
The texter, I think, in my mind, needs to go back and do some research on some of the pronouncements that Halson Molstrie, as Speaker, has made.
Right. And I think that in this instance, Halson gave, well, two things, gave consideration to the fact that the types of shifts in policies and practices he was demanding required time. So he wasn't just expecting it to happen overnight.
No. Nope.
And he gave them some time to do that. But I think the caller, the texter does pick up on an important point because there are whisperings in the community that there's already a replacement for Moultrie in Nassau Village. And I could, if it is who they saying it is, I could understand, I could understand that possibly it's a move less about the principles of governance and more about the principles of politics within the party. But I got a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, Erin? Good morning.
I'm good, thank you. Morning.
Okay, morning, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
You said Ms. Blackwell?
Yes.
Okay, right. Is that Ms. Blackwell who used to come on with Cox, Lester?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. I miss you and the other lady who used to come on the show. So I'm happy to hear. Happy to hear you on with Erin this morning. That's a good thing.
Not Miss Black. That is Sue Black.
That's Sue Black. But, no, this is Margot Blackwell.
But you put them together in one room and you got a powerhouse.
Yes, an explosion, as a matter of fact. and the knowledge, information, and I guess being truthful. I want to piggyback on what Miss Blackwell was speaking about. Regarding the Speaker of the House of Assembly, right? If you would indulge me for a minute, please, Erin. Now, I'm not one who supports a lot of the positions that the Speaker would have taken in his tenure as Speaker of the House, because I believe that while I saw he had the spirit to and he had the will to, he did not execute and act in his good and decent conscience and did what he knew would have been the right thing to do in protecting democracy and protecting the voice of the minority, which is so very small in the House. The minority doesn't even make up 20%. Doesn't even make up 18%, right? The minority is so small in the House. However, like Ms. Blackwell said, from time to time, he has shown something that's within him that has been trampled on and that was dying under what he was subjected to. And to me, I agree with Ms. Blackwell. That has come to a plateau in his resignation. If you read the words mm-hmm. in his resignation letter, mm-hmm. they are powerful mm-hmm. words. They tell the story. If you can interpret language, if you can beat that down to common day language, he's telling you what is going on. He's telling you he cannot tolerate it any longer. He's telling you it's going against his principles. He's telling you it's creating a problem with separation of powers in the country. He's telling you that it is no longer tenable in his spirit here. And he is more, as a matter of fact, that letter has gone beyond the point of pointing out exactly what he intends. And guess what? He resigned from the party that is creating all of this turmoil within him. But he did not resign from the country and seeking to hold them to account in the parliament. Now, what would be it for me? And what I would encourage the nation, I'll end on this point here, what I would encourage the nation to watch out for, if we see the House in Moultrie that is reflected in this powerful letter moving forward until the election is called, if we see him protecting democracy, then we know that this man was telling the truth and nothing but the truth. I respect what he said. Thank you for the opportunity, Aaron. Continue the great work.
Absolutely. I agree with you. There, like I said, Darren, there's many times when he has taken a principled stand that I and he don't agree on. But in this instance, I absolutely agree with you, caller.
Right. Where I don't agree is that I don't think the letter goes far enough in the explanation. Now, maybe the explanation is too large for this letter, or is should be written in a different style.
Yeah, and he's the member of a party, and when you become a member of something, including like a board member and stuff like that, it's generally expected that you would have confidential information and deal with the stuff in there. But it will come out.
Right.
It will come out. That letter, just as the caller says, if you read between the lines, it tells you what he feels he cannot deal with.
And two things. I guess the letter, the explanation I am expecting is to meet a part of the people, the citizenry.
Yeah.
Right. I don't really care about your relationship with them.
Yeah.
But to the extent that I would like to know what in particular about the issues with
the five major things,
right,
that there's straws.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I get that. So for me, that's important. Anton, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
But it goes
and
on.
I enjoyed Anton the other day on the radio, too, by the way.
But well, listen, I intend on, as we approach the election time, to have a series of political advocates on, or people who identify as political advocates, and to challenge them is what if what they're doing is political advocacy or if they just campaigning with fancy words. But you know what? Let's roll to a break. Kermit, are we ready for a break? And then I'm gonna get to that second, second political party that may be showing us an example of their difficulty balancing these awesome obligations of leadership and governance. We'll be right back. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and my special guest, Margot Blackwell. It's time to get active. Get up, get out, and get active. There are four platforms to enter. Over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com. Click on the Get Active link. Download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry and you can win. Remember, promotion ends February 26th. And welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I've got a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the clock.
Morning, Erin.
Good morning.
Morning to your guest. Did you get my message?
Good morning.
No, but...
I leave my number and everything for the gentleman. He didn't give it to you?
No, I will... You will, before you hang up your phone, you will leave it again with the producer or call...
I try that. Let me leave it now. I don't mind giving you my number publicly. But I try it with the producer. Producer don't come on.
Okay.
My number, before I get to my client, my number is 394-0576. You got that? My office number?
Yeah.
Then my cell is 467-7514.
Okay.
Sure you get them?
Got them.
He's a good secretary.
Listen,
I listen to Antoine. Antoine makes the speaker look like a good character and a hero. Yeah, isn't it sad? Because I watch Parliament. I love Parliament. Parliament's part of my democracy. You know how the speaker and his character and un-Christian behavior is treat the opposition, right? Several times, you disrespect woman with Glennis.
Mm-hmm.
He
let
Glennis speak. Glennis had to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to apologize so many times.
Mm-hmm.
He had to apologize to Brave Davis' attack on his family, which is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Nassau Village, he gave this wealth to the young generation in Nassau Village to drink daily water. You know about a well water, right?
I know about well water.
He put a well pump. A pump. Pump and pump. Say, that's old days. And that's over there. I think it's still there.
Well, I don't... Wouldn't the water and sewage be responsible for that?
Right. But
how is that allowed?
Exactly. But that's a speaker.
He's a representative there. So he should make sure it happens. Yeah.
Look on life of people.
Yeah. No.
As a reverend.
Yeah,
so
no.
I don't know what Antoine's talking about.
No, caller, Anton did say he's made some mistakes. We're talking about the letter and the principles
carefully.
With that.
Right,
and,
I listened to him very carefully.
Yeah.
And he used some nice, sophisticated,
language.
Intellectual words for the speaker.
But,
I can't use the word I want to use on the speaker on this national radio because it's OCA.
And because we are working to build in the common good. That's why you can't use the word, because we're working to build the common good.
Right. And
right.
Speaker, I like that word, Erin Green.
Mm-hmm.
And the speaker was not making the common good. If you talk to the opposition, if you talk to freedom, expression, they wanted to express themselves. He played with the political psychological game with them. He's mad because his people... like a crybaby, make him mind, saw his name on the list. So he decided to get rid of everything. Crybaby, watch your face and stop lying. I'm your punk, Anita.
Okay. I appreciate your critique.
All right.
But you see, I guess I am biased right? Because every issue that he has listed in this letter, they're all issues that I have continued to harp on, not just raise. To hop, like Lester, look at me, cut his eye at me, like, woman, again. And I tell him, but that's what we got to do, Lester, right? So, you know, I am biased because all of these issues, I think, are issues that always require attention.
Yes.
And that the party and the administration, right? So let's separate them. The FNM party and the FNM administration, the executive, seem to disregard. You still there, Pumpkin Eater? You're gone. So that means I got a new caller. Caller, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. Caller, you there? Ah, the Pumpkin Eater's gone now. Okay. Right? So, Margo.
Yeah.
What you think?
Well, you know, Pumpkin Eater is right in about many things in terms of some of the decisions. In my feeling, I agree with him that the speaker did, and I was, you know, thought that they were wrong. The issue with Glennis and a couple other ways, and I thought there were he could have had a different path when he took that, and I told him that personally. But at the same time, we weren't talking about all of his actions like that.
Yeah,
and the proof will be in the pudding because it is a checkmate. It's a check now, right?
Right.
And so there's a decision that needs to be made by the government. Will they prorogue? Will they not? Will they do a new speaker? What is going to happen with that? But if he stands in the chair, I expect him to rule again with his principles. Now, remember, we act on the principles that we learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the argument that we have with this whole issue about women being subjected to men and that the whole, all the issues that you say that we've been talking about for years. But if you really believe those things, then that's a principle for you.
Yeah. And you have to act.
And you act on them.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we get it changed? And this comes back to, I think, what you were listing about the issues around governance and leadership and representation.
Yeah.
Because that's where we often suffer in mm-hmm. the communities, the representation. And coming back to, you started to talk at the earlier part of the show, is how do we get candidates in the first place to know what their obligation is to leadership, governance, and representation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need a framework for that. And I think the world, and the Bahamas being a part of the world, signed on it in 73 to the human rights when we became an independent mm-hmm. nation, part of the United Nations. There are frameworks out there for us to use to guide.
So stick a pin. Here's the party number two. Right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about frameworks and opportunities for training and learning and expanding models. The PLP, when it announced its slate of candidates, the first part of its list of candidates.
And how many women again?
I've not.
Okay, thank you.
It's more juju on the tree on the windiest road in Johnson Road than in their list. So. The PLP launched a training model for aspirant candidates and individuals wishing to serve in local government on statutory boards or as diplomats. Right? That's a quote from their press statement. For aspirant candidates and individuals wishing to serve in local government on statutory boards or as diplomats. And the first thing I thought was, hold on, I didn't hear about that. First of all, I like free things. I like free training,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
I would have gone if I knew about it, right?
And see what it's about.
And I ain't no PLP, and I certainly ain't no card-carrying member of the PLP, right? Mm-hmm. And that made me think to myself, well, who's the training module available to? Who are the individuals, right, separate from aspirant candidates?
You worried about what's in the model?
Well, I'm also worried about what's in the model, right? The module, but we can get to that.
Module.
Yeah. Do I need to be a card-carrying member to apply? And who decides who can participate, right? Like, who decides who gets in this training module? Because it says for people wishing to serve in local government and statutory boards or as diplomats. And then it made me think, am I to presume, like, okay, so if I want to be appointed as a diplomat or to a statutory board, while the PLP is in administration, does that mean I have to be a PLP? Do I have to be a PLP of such good standing? Do I get invited to opportunities like this? Like, who the thing for?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Is it are these PLP boards or are these governance boards for the country?
Right.
And so I thought about the same paragraph about that, and I was like, what does that mean? Now, I expect them to train and help them learn how to speak with people and do their, you know, because this thing is very data-driven as well, you know.
Right.
And how to interpret data, how to collect the data, and how to do those kinds of things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The bottom line about governance and responsibility and representation, that's got to be a little broader, but then we don't know what's in the module.
Right, but they list in the press statement, they tell us some of the key courses.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, and when I see key courses, I think the most important things for you to learn or while you're in this, to be successful in this program, right? And they were the history of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. the history of the PLP party, mm-hmm. and parliamentary procedures, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, oh, wait, what about constitutional principles,
mm-hmm.
human rights principles and constitutional
mm-hmm.
law,
mm-hmm.
right? What about ethics and governance?
And how decisions now need to be made in regard to the conventions we've signed.
Right. What about international law, global economics and politics,
mm-hmm.
right? And media and diversity training.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about all them things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, what? But I still stuck on who the program for. Listen, Margo, I got a caller.
Okay.
Right, let's go to the caller.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Holidays Universe, along with you and your co-host, Aaron.
Good morning. Thank
Good
you.
Morning.
Good morning. What I think we need in this country, the Governor General should oversight all the leaders of the country, all everybody that goes in the House of Assembly and in the Cabinet and the Senate for the benefit of the Bahamian people. He needs to direct them for the benefit of the Bahamian people. Other than that, it's going to be the same old, same old.
I mean,
go ahead.
Okay, I think oversight, some form of oversight is necessary. I don't know exactly.
Well, it exists, too. You know, and this again, sometimes we have to look, there are local entities that can help us
right.
pull together that kind of stuff together. There's regional entities that can help support it. There's grants to be gotten from it.
But we don't need regional, see?
No, we have local, that's what I said. We have
we
local.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So knowing that we both, there's the Governor General, supposed to oversight to know what the Bahamas need, what the people need, and direct those people that goes in the House of Assembly towards those issues and see that it happens.
But,
the other thing is, right?
But let me stick a pin right there. Do you think that's possible if politicians, PMs and parties keep choosing people from their party to fill these positions? You think any former FNM Governor General is going to provide thorough and unquestionable oversight?
Well, the thing is, it needs to be changed.
Ah.
Howsoever they changed it, it needs to be changed.
Oh, nobody disagrees with that.
Say it again?
I say I do not disagree with that. Now, you are right. We need systemic change.
Another thing is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bannister, right? He responsible for public works, right?
Yes.
If he's there, here in the House of Assembly, and those members of the House of Assembly, they know what needs to be done in their constituency, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think their duty is to script whatsoever needs to be done and put it to Bannister while they all are in there.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be done in order to get things done in this country.
I agree, but that don't make good politics, right? Like, that don't make for good party politics. So, I agree with you, and I think that's the way it should be, but it seems as if candidates and MPs and ministers of state are convinced that their obligations to the cabinet and their obligations to the party are greater than their obligations to the people who they serve.
Well, the voters don't show them differently. They got to come to their senses.
Well, I think there's also a need for a conversation in the 21st century where when we talk about all these secrecies and swearing allegiance, that we broaden an understanding of that. Because we were a former colony and the Queen is still our head of state, technically speaking, does not mean that because we have, she is the one that calls the shots. However, she is, like the Privy Council in a way, the one that we can go to should we need it. In the end, we have self-governance under the Constitution.
So that means we are not self,
we are not truly sovereign or independent.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you all. Bye.
And even with the level of independence that we have achieved, right, we should be striving for more.
Yes, and thinking differently.
Now, yeah. Margot, I got a couple of texts here. Let me get to these texts. First text, here we go. Moultrie's resignation is of no surprise. His stance is based on his bitterness with the party. Make no mistake, if he felt he was getting the nomination, his voice would not be heard. It's all politics. The text goes on to say, Anton's use of good verbal gymnastics is only a political dart towards the FNM, but he forgets Leslie Miller's assertion of the lies their chairman is telling about their own process. Well, I wanted to make this one point to the caller that initially challenged Anton's contribution, which is Anton is a politician, and he is driving a political agenda. And while he is obviously attempting to be fair in his assessment of the situation, he also intentionally declared his bias.
And
right?
He's a PLP card-carrying member.
Right. And more than that, we know we can use to infer what he means, the knowledge that this boy obviously dedicates time to supporting a PLP agenda. So we get that. He's making a political position point. I got another text here. Erin, callers should note, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the bad of the speaker's behavior, but there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the truth and good in his resignation and reasons offered. Mm-hmm. We must look at the entire human being, not only the side of the person we dislike. That is from Anton.
That's the diversity.
Right.
And I need to be able to see through what you're struggling with in your point of view. And if I need to change it, then I need to find the way to help you see it differently.
Right, right. We
wiping you out.
Right.
I mean, look at all the other good.
If in an instance we tell in Mr. Moultrie, you cannot objectify women in this way, or your treatment and statements towards women objectify them in a way that creates a less safe environment for them, you can't then turn around and do the same thing. To him. You certainly won't gain his trust, and you won't be able to help him or encourage him to shift personal culture, and definitely not political culture.
Exactly. But, you know, I really respected the fact that he helped the women conversation in Parliament. I can't remember what it was named last year, but it was really wonderful to see, you know, the women there, and
the special parliamentary session.
Yeah, and how he helped make that happen. I was really impressed by that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I got another text here. Good morning, Erin and guests. Oh, we read the first part of it. The second part is, it's disheartening to see a party that advocated in the House for more woman representation in the Honorable House, but yet hasn't taken up the initiative themselves. The action speaks louder than the words. Sigh, plantation politics. Sorry, Erin, I must steal that phrase. Mm-hmm. You, look here, use a Bahamian, I's a Bahamian, steal it, because I steal it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's a university called the University of the West Indies. And these boys have been talking about plantation model systems for a couple decades.
Ian Strong wrote
easy.
A book.
Plantation. from plantation to paradise, tourism and culture in the Anglophone Caribbean. If you want to understand how your country runs, why tourism operates the way that it does, get that book and read it. And that's an important point. Margot, before we go, I'm going to ask you to touch on that. Ms. Green, we get too much time, spend too much time getting caught up with the politics. All it is, Moultrie didn't get a nomination, so he upset. Also, this man was a poor as a representative for the community he represented. But the question is, how does this help solve the problems like crime and murder? Mm-hmm. People in my community burning trash, which is against the law. How does this make my quality of life better? Because these politicians were getting paid all through this pandemic. Tired of these politics. It's a bunch of foolishness that is holding this country back. Do more shows like yesterday or even about obeying the traffic laws. I feel what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let me say this, texter. What Moultrie did is, first of all, important for the entire country.
Right. Changes.
Part of it is governance. Mm-hmm. Part of it is leadership. And part of it is politics. Mm-hmm. The governance and the leadership parts are so important that we can't let them get tied up in the politics. We can no longer let the political class and the political culture create and drive the narrative of these issues. See, political pundits and party supporters and agents that get paid to promote party positions and agendas, right? They want you and all of us to get stuck on the politics of it. They want us to talk about how well he wasn't getting his seat anyway. So maybe he just doing that to get, you right?
That might have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
But
it's 7 months that he's been
working on this. Right, in this particular instance, mm-hmm. we can see that this is an issue, or that the speaker saw it as an issue of governance separate from the issue of party politics. And the resignation from the party suggests to us that he can no longer align himself with the party. And this is my assertion, presumption, that refuses to address these issues in a substantive way. So it is important for us to be able to assess these situations and separate the politics from the governance. But it's also important for us to talk about this, because we need these new candidates to understand that the political culture that they're about to enter will consume them if they don't understand it. And we want to give them an opportunity. We want to flesh out the issues, give them a new perspective on how they can engage this question of how do they balance their obligations to party, mm-hmm. to constitution, to constituents, to citizenry as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And so let them talk about him not getting his seat anymore. Let him worry about his relationship with his constituents. See, that's leadership mm-hmm. and representation.
That's representation.
And let us talk about the issues of governance that have to be addressed. Just have to. Oh, I'm so sorry, Margot, and I'm so sorry, Texters.
You're getting chasey.
Yes, and it ain't a bad thing, you know, because this boy come to unleash the wild, right? Y'all thought I was getting giving you a critical lens. This boy come to do something, too. So I'm glad to share this time with my station colleague. Callers, Texters, thanks for joining the conversation. You have been On the Clock with Erin Green and my special guest today, Margot Blackwell. And we've been talking about the matters that drive this nation. Matters that we don't think are important, but really are at the root of national development, politics, and governance. Thanks for being here with us, and thank you, Margot,
thank
for joining
you,
the conversation.
Look forward to going over some of those other things at another time. Yeah. Thank you very much, and have a good day, Bahamas, and a great weekend. Be safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay home if you can.
And listen to your elders.
Thank you.